Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A podcast network.
Hello!
And welcome to... Filthy...
Nerds!
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And there's two of us.
There sure are. There's two of us. We're here. Heidi, hoody, howdy. Holy shit, we're getting toward the end of
our book,
but that is neither here nor there because right now we're just fucking running our mouths.
We're gonna run our filthy, fat, fraudulent...
Speak for yourself, bitch.
Funny.
I have
funny
a fantastic too. Funny mouth. By the way, speaking of that, we're almost to the end of our series. While I mentioned it, you can vote on what we're doing next. We've got a challenge going on. Our What's Next challenge is in the finals between Indiana Jones and Marvel. So head on over to our social media at Two Filthy Nerds on Instagram or Twitter. You'll see the link. Every dollar is a vote, and Marvel needs a few more to squeak ahead. But, you know, vote for who you're going to vote for. Words are hard. I'm so tired. Also, you can get votes by being a patron. Patreon.com/twofilthynerds. Not only that, we are nearing the end of our series, which means we will be drawing our grand prize winner. Someone is winning a trip to come to Universal Studios with us. It's going to be sick. It's not happening right away. We're not being completely inconsiderate of the world around us, nor are we willing to go into Florida blind in the middle of a pandemic. Sorry, Greg. I know one of our patrons just has to live there. So he's surviving at Legoland. So anyway, that's all the housekeeping, I think.
I think
Don't forget to subscribe.
You kept the house very well.
I'm really good at housekeeping on a podcast. Very bad at it in a house.
But what matters is I'm good at the house part and not the podcast part.
Well. Sure. I don't know who you think that matters to, but we are both on this podcast, so let's go.
Hello, guys. We're going to run our filthy mouths today about a topic that is currently an issue in our lives, which is having jobs.
Yeah. No, I think we're probably not alone in that.
Nope.
Having a job, needing a job, wanting more jobs, wanting a different job.
We've all been there. Having to find a job after not needing a job because you've been doing comedy. You know, those sorts of jobs.
Yeah, it's and I think anyone in a creative field can probably relate to having to do weird ass work to stay afloat. And there's some people who maybe just do weird ass work because they have to stay afloat because we live in a fucking capitalist society. You don't have to be a psychotic creative person to have a job you hate.
Yeah.
Or have done weird jobs.
If you have a job and you hate it, you have a job.
That's the American dream, is you'll someday get a job that you hate.
And you can complain about it without losing your life.
Yeah, and most of that money will be sucked away by your 2.5 kids and white picket fence while you're...
I always wondered why it always had to be like 2.5 kids.
They're just averaging out because some people have way too many fucking kids and some people are infertile. Lucky bastards.
I feel like that's a round up or down situation. You know, it just sounds better to say 2 kids or 3 kids, or but 2.5 kids.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing. I don't even know if it really is a... What? Is... Oh, a dog... I'm sorry. A dog is a full kid. As a dog owner...
Yeah.
That's
way more than a kid.
I came home from the job I've been doing for 2 days this week and immediately thought, I don't know how single mothers do it. And this was day 2 and I was just letting out my dog.
I thought you were going to bring the dog to work today.
I didn't bring it to work today. Andy was here for most of the day. I'm going to bring her tomorrow, I think, mostly because Andy was like, I'm really busy tomorrow. So my plan to wait 1 week before I brought my dog in is fucked. Yeah. But I have a dog-friendly office. There's only one dog there, though.
That is one thing I can say about modern offices that has changed since, you know, my early years in corporate America. Dogs were never allowed in the office. And now, you know, ad agencies had... I remember when I worked in an ad agency, you were allowed to have your dog. But now... offices are allowing people to have...
I don't know. I don't know that... I can't comment that, like, big corporations are allowing that.
Google, you can have your dog at work.
You can have your dog at work? I mean, do they just not hire anyone with allergies? That seems like a disaster. People tour Google all the time.
I don't know.
Aren't they going to get sued?
I don't know.
And I'm saying that as someone who loves dogs, but it seems like a nightmare for like a giant corporation to allow that. Because then it's like, well, where do you draw the line on which dogs are and aren't allowed? And how long till your office is just covered in dog shit? Anyway.
If you have a dog that shits in the office, you're no longer allowed to have your dog there. Your dog has to be extremely well-trained, from what I understand.
From your inside sources at Google.
Well, one of my friends works at Google.
You have a friend that works at Google, mm-hmm. and you haven't mentioned that in the last 10 months I've been looking for a job?
Oh, yeah, I have a friend who works at Google. Do you want
to
work at Google?
Sure. I'm fine. I'm employed now. We'll see. So we want to talk about weird jobs that we've done, that you do, that we've had, that we're having.
First job ever. What was your first job ever?
My first job ever, I got a job at State Farm Insurance, okay. answering phones. I turned 14, which in Alaska is the legal age to get a work permit. Mm-hmm. It's a different work permit than a 16-year-old. Like it's much less hours and whatever, but I turned 14. I put on my best clothing, which I'm sure was terrible because I was poor and 14. And I marched up and down the streets of Anchorage going into every business and asking, are you hiring? Can I have a job here?
You must have been the cutest thing ever. Just little...
Don't condescend me. I was a mogul.
Little 14-year-old cutie patootie.
Yeah, I look...
Can I have a job?
Yeah. And the guy at State Farm was like, actually, I could use someone to answer the phones. And I worked one day, and then when I came back, the office was locked. And when I called, I couldn't get a hold of him. And shortly after the office shut, I think he was engaging in fraud.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then I worked at Arby's.
How old were you when you worked at Arby's? 14?
Yeah, still 14. I worked at Arby's for a little while till I got the... I got asked to come over to Carl's Jr. So,
ooh! All right, Carl's Jr. versus Arby's. Which one's better?
As a job?
As the food.
The food? That's tough. Depends on my mood. No, now it's definitely Arby's, but... Mm. Carl's Jr. has gotten worse over the years. I mean, on fries alone, it's a tough competition. The idea of Carl's Jr.'s food is always better than, like, how it actually is. Like, what I mean is, I love double Western bacon cheeseburgers.
Ugh.
I don't love how I feel after, but it's probably the same for Arby's. That's hard. Those are two places that you have to be... No, maybe not. Carl's Jr. is, like, a place I could see people who like burgers and, you know, want it relatively quick... going to. That burger is like a food you could crave a lot. Arby's feels like You got to really, like, it makes sense that their slogan is, I'm thinking Arby's. Because it's a specific mood when you go all the
way to
Arby's.
That's so funny. I forgot that that was their slogan.
I will say, as an employee, if you want to compare the two places I worked, the Arby's in Anchorage, Alaska, RIP, and the Carl's Jr., which was brand new. It was, like, the first time Carl's Jr. had been in Alaska. I was, like, I was on the
ground
staff
zero.
For, like, the
Look at you.
Grand opening. This was a big deal. Arby's was so much more chill as far as, like, employee stress because nobody gave a fuck.
And at Carl's Jr., everybody had something to prove because it was a new business in town.
Well, yeah, and the guy who owned it was, like, a fucking, like, psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, he thought he was running a Fortune 500 company. Like, the
You're like, you don't actually own stress... Carl's Jr., sir.
Truly, like, the stress by which he would, like, inflict on all of us over drive-through times was criminal. Like, truly, I shouldn't have been sweating over 2 minutes in 1 second drive-through times and being like, I am a personal failure.
How long did you work at Arby's and how long did you work at Carl's Jr.?
I think I worked at Arby's for like 3 months and then Carl's Jr. was opening. And then I worked at Carl's Jr. Till the summer I left for high school. I mean, for college, excuse me. It's they offered me a raise to stay. He said, hey.
They're like, don't go to college.
Yeah, if you don't go to college, we'll let you be a GM here and we'll pay you $13 an hour. And at the time, I sneezed at that. And then I got out of college and I was like, I can't find a job. But
did you have a job during college?
Yeah, I was. Wait, what about you? What was your first job?
First job, I volunteered a lot at my mom's hospital.
Volunteering is not a job.
That's what I did when I was younger. And then I got my first job when I was 17 working at a call center doing cold calling. I did that for about 2 hours. And
cold
I was like,
calling? What were you cold calling for? You can't just
it
say
was
like, I was just
it was
doing
just,
cold calling.
It was just it was like whatever you get hired for. It's like I worked for a company that got hired by other companies to do cold calling for them. So
it was like different campaigns. People
yeah,
hired like you guys to be their temporary call center.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Interesting.
And I had to go in for training, and I did 2 hours of training, and I was like, I don't want to do this. And then
what?
I
you didn't want to work in a cold calling center? I'm
crazy.
So shocked. Was it a cold calling center?
It was very cold. I always need your car to get in a cold calling center. So then I got a job working at, there's this like, kind of like a gift shop, jewelry store type place where if you buy presents for people, they have like knickknacks and nice stuff. And then they have a gift wrapping area in the back. So if you buy anything, you can get a gift wrapped. Even if you're not giving us a gift, we'll gift wrap it. So I
wow,
was a gift
Wow, that must
wrapper.
Have been expensive stuff. If it's you just get things gift wrapped, that's a fancy store.
It was a pretty fancy store.
This is not Claire's, okay?
It was not Claire's. It was a pretty fancy store. A friend of mine there had done the wrapping the year before, and then when she graduated and went off to college, she recommended me for it. So I did that throughout my senior year. And I liked it. It was fun. And
you
then
liked
when I went
being
to college,
a rapper?
I loved it. It was so super fun.
Were you good at it?
Yeah, great at it.
Was it busy?
So busy. Crazy. Wow. It's insane. Well, what they would do was, like, people would have, like, you know, if somebody was ordering something for, like, you could have a gift registry there if you were, like, getting married or whatever. So wow. For the gift registry, if somebody bought something there, we'd have to wrap the whole gift registry. So it was, I primarily did it on the weekends because during the week I had no time to do it.
What were you doing during the week?
I had
your social butterfly.
I was doing sports. No, I was on. I was on so many teams.
How? What teams? Tell me.
Well, I was doing
softball.
Softball outside of school, and then I was doing softball in school or whatever sport it was I was doing at the time.
Did you just go? I was on a lot of sports teams, and the truth is, you were just on multiple softball teams. Is that what just happened here?
Well, one during the spring.
I also bowled.
And then. I was, you know, and then I would, there was training for softball and then I would be doing volleyball and then I'd be training for softball and I would be doing skiing. You know, it's like the different sports for the different seasons, but softball season, I was doing softball and then softball outside of school.
Wow.
So always softball was my big thing. And then, so I didn't have time for a job then.
A job.
And then in college, I did research my freshman year. I just worked in a lab, which was awful. And then.
Is that what made you change your major?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I don't.
For those of you listening, you may not know, Nicole was pre-med.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, sometimes I don't say it, but I was pre-med.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I worked in a psychology lab. It was just like boring. Like it was cool stuff we were doing, but eventually it just got like monotonous and I hated it. And then my sophomore year of college, then I started working. I worked at a clothing store on campus.
Wow. Was it like campus clothing? Was it like Michigan shirts?
It was like an actual clothing store that I worked
at.
Wow.
We just had the school library that sold like South Florida shirts and sweatshirts.
Yeah, we had something like that.
One of our patrons in the chat, by the way, said that he made $3.65 an hour in college, $20 to $30.
That's crazy.
That's fucking.
I worked my retail job. I made minimum wage, but when I was working my retail job, my high school English teacher walked into the store, and she was like, "Nicole Schreiber," and I was like, "Oh my god, Mrs. Murray." She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Shitty job." She's like, "What class is you taking right now?" And I was telling her, you know, I was taking a computer programming class and doing some HTML stuff. And she's like, "You can do computer programming in HTML? I have a web page design company. I'll hire you." So I went from making minimum wage to making like $18 an hour in college. And I was like, it was one of those moments where I was like in my job and I like balled up my apron, like threw it on the ground. And I was like, "I quit." Wasn't like that at all. I was like, "I'll keep both jobs." So I was at one point I was working that job with her and then the store job. And I was like, "I can't do the store job anymore." So, and then I did that for the rest of college.
You were a web designer for the rest of college?
Yeah, I did the Cheez-Its website. I did the Cars website, Cars Crackers. Famous Cars Amos. Crackers. I did Famous Amos website. Yeah.
You can do all these websites?
Mm-hmm. I did HTML.
Damn.
I just wrote HTML. That's it.
That's crazy.
That's before there was an HTML generator. I'm old. I was like, a-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Oh, man, HTML. I learned very basic HTML just through MySpace, but that's as deep as it ever got, sadly.
That's my job history. And then I had weird jobs, you know, doing...
That's your job? No, that's not your job history. Doesn't end at the job.
No.
What did you do with after college?
Oh, then when I first moved to L.A.,
what jobs have you had in L.A.?
I worked in a restaurant as a hostess. As soon as I got here, I got that job.
Wow, wild.
I worked there for a month. I got fired.
Why?
Because I corrected the English of the owner of the company. Of the restaurant.
Chef. You shouldn't do that.
Josie LaBalch. She was talking shit about this
like
letter that
bitch.
She was huge cunt. She was making fun of this letter that somebody wrote in complaining about their service that they had received at the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, and the woman said, my husband and me. And she's like, "My husband and me? You mean my husband and I?" And then her and the sous chef are like laughing about it. And I was like, actually, in this instance, it would be my husband and me. And then I like went through the rules of why. And then she's like, "All right, little Miss English major." I'm like, "Actually, I was an art history major and I was pre-med."
She's like, "Well, now you're unemployed."
Yeah. And then I came back in the next day and the manager walked up to me and he was like, "Nicole, this just isn't working." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Okay.
Wow.
Does that mean I'm fired?" And he's like, "Yes." And I was like, "All right, cool."
Did you get unemployment?
No, I worked there for a month, so I didn't get unemployment. Oh, and then the next month I worked at an art gallery, packing up art. Did that for not even a month. I was probably there for like 3 weeks.
Were you employed at an art gallery or were you stealing art? Be both. Honest. Okay.
Both. Paul Kopakin art gallery. Photography. Got fired from that.
Wait, how'd you get fired?
Didn't get fired. He just stopped putting
existing. Stopped, yeah.
He just stopped calling me and putting me on the schedule. And I was like, hi, do I work there anymore? And he's like, no. And I was like, okay, well, could you have said that? And also, can I get my last check? I had to fight this man for my last check. And then I did babysitting for a little bit. And then I started doing cold calling for a clothing company.
it always comes back full to circle. Cold calling.
Mm-hmm. And full then the circle. CFO of the company heard me on the phone, the cold calls, lying to people. And I would make up these elaborate stories to get information from people. And the CFO of the company came up to me one day and he was like, you know, I got to be honest. I've heard a lot of these calls that you've been making. And I was like, oh, no. And he's like, you are an incredible liar. And I was like, thank you.
You need a different job.
He's like, thank you so much. I'm like, thank you. And he's like, do you want to be my assistant? I was like, does it pay more than $10 an hour? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, cool, I'll take it.
That's what he was looking for in an assistant. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a stand-up guy when he's like, you're a great liar. Do you want to work closer to me?
No question about it. He was like, you're good. You're good. He also, everybody knew that I was really good at Excel. And because he's the CFO of the company, he was like, I need somebody who can do Excel.
I need some spreadsheets. You can do Excel? You're really good at Excel?
Yeah.
Never again do I want to hear you talking about how you just don't understand computers. She's done that, you guys.
For some reason.
She's done that to me. She's lied.
Excel makes sense.
Because she's a good liar.
Everything else, demented. You can figure out the apps in a way that blows my mind.
The apps?
I call them the apps. When you're doing the InShot editing thing, brain explosion.
That just takes a day of learning. I only learned that last year.
That's my job.
Anyway,
that's my job
this
history.
Was a really fun.
I wanted to hear your job shit.
I don't know. I worked in college. I got a job at Jason's Deli for a little while. Then I auditioned at a theme park to be a theme park performer. Went up. Oh, man. This audition. Whoo, boy. Have I told you about this song?
No, I haven't heard this.
They were having auditions for singers and dancers at Busch Gardens, which is a Tampa theme park at the time owned by Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri, even though it was in Tampa. So it's a beer company owns a theme park that's very African themed. Probably a lot of complaints about that now. I don't know. And what they do is they tell you to prepare two songs and a monologue. And I'm going and it's kind of cattle call-y, but it's not a huge enough cattle call that you don't see, you're in a room, you see everyone's audition. You're they're bringing you in 20 at a time. You sit in chairs on the side. One person goes up and here's what happens. One girl goes up, she sings and they're like, thank you very much. Have a nice day. And she goes out. Someone goes up and they sing. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Someone goes up, sing. And they're like, that's great. Can you sing another song? Person was an amazing singer. They sing another song. And that was great. Do you have a monologue prepared? And they're like, actually I do. And they do their monologue and they're like, hey, that was great. Go see that person at that table over there and they'll get you some paperwork and sort you out with some stuff. And then I was like, okay, so if they only ask me to sing one song, they don't like me. So everyone else, one song, done, one song, thank you very much, one song. And I'm like, next. I'm like, okay, you've been practicing for this for weeks. Because I had. That's so embarrassing. I was practicing my songs. I was rehearsing my monologue with my roommate who probably wanted to fucking kill me. And I was like, this is it. This is my moment. And I go up and I sing my first song. And I was like, uh-oh. And they go, that was really good. Can you sing another song? And I was like, I do have another song. I can sing another song for you. And I sang another song. And they were like, we're really impressed. Do you have a monologue? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I do have a monologue that I will perform for you right now. And I performed my monologue. And they were like, that was really great. You just go see that lady right over there. And I went over to the lady and she goes, wow, good job. How tall are you? And I was like, I'm just under 5 feet. And then she said, ah, perfect. We need someone to, Sesame Street Live is coming here and we need somebody to play Elmo. And I was like, does Elmo sing? And she's like, no. Yeah, Elmo doesn't make any noise. But you're the right height. And I was like, was that, you didn't have to make me, is that, like, did I need to sing two songs? Oh. You couldn't have just asked me. And she's like, no, I mean, if there's ever a part, you know, for your typecast, you're the first up on the list. But my first day as
Elmo,
my first day of training as Elmo, with the trainers at the work were just other costume characters, mm-hmm. and the guys who are running it, these two just like delightfully mean in the funniest way, like this like duo of gay guys. They were like best friends, not partners, just like two gay guys who later like went to work on cruise ships together and like just my kind of people. Like they were like, oh honey, there's never gonna be a part for you. That's not there. You're not. They're not
honest.
Writing.
They were honest.
They were like, just look, wait for the singing and dancing group to go by. And you tell me if any of them is even 4 inches within your height. It's not happening. But I played Elmo and then I did so good at Elmo that they asked me to be a regular costume character. So then I got to be a generic costume character. So fun, though. It was one of the most fun jobs. Because of the people. The job itself
is terrible.
I gotta
be honest. You just describing this job is the most excited I've seen you in describing any of these jobs. So. That says something.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to write a show about being a costume character or something. But there was that. Then I worked at Chick-fil-A. Didn't know that they were so anti-gay at the time. Knew they were Christian. In the interview, they go, we're closed on Sundays because we believe that's a good day to worship the Lord. How do you feel about that? And I was like, that's cool. And they hired me. And then I graduated and I worked 3 jobs. I was working, Sunglass Hut was the last job I had in college. I worked in Sunglass Hut. I was moved up to assistant manager really quickly. They wanted to give me my own store. I was like basically running 2 stores with the general manager. I was really good at sales and customer service. Like
I believe it.
I'm real good at retail.
I'll buy shit
not
from you.
A great skill, but like, yeah, I did that. And then I got a job for a year helping blind people find jobs. And then on the side, I was working at Home Shopping Network answering calls and a phone sex operator, which we've already talked about here. And then I came to LA. Ta-da!
Big dreams.
And they started coming true. And now here we are, barely getting by. I don't know.
Well,
that's that.
I love all your stories. I feel like this this episode will make us deeply relatable to everyone, and that's really what we need. Relatability.
If I don't want to meet people who find my costume character experience in phone sex operating too deeply relatable.
I find it deeply relatable.
I'm
scared. I would love to have been a phone sex operator.
Surprised you never did it.
Have you heard the voice?
That's
no.
True. That's a good point.
Nobody's dialing up for this voice. Nobody's like, give me allergies.
Well, you're probably not wrong. Listen, speaking of dialing up and dialing out.
She won't survive flu season.
We're hanging up this call. So no more phone sex operating here. Listen, that's the end of this Running Our Filthy Mouths, which was more like both of us listing our resumes, which
I mean,
feels
it felt interesting.
It's like, if anyone out there is hiring, let's run through all of our positions, you know, you can help us keep doing this as our job by going to patreon.com/2filthynerds. You get live streams, you get to be in our live chat right now telling us how much money you made at your first job and other shit like that. We're gonna do live reads, we've got a drawing for a grand prize and more, and we have our What's Next challenge going on, so head over to our Instagram or Twitter at 2filthynerds.
What's Next
links.
Challenge is Indiana Jones versus Marvel. This is a big one, you guys, because both of these series, groupings, whatever you want to call them, are amazing. I would be happy either way. I'm not going to say which way I'm leaning, but
Nicole thinks that she has so much influence. If she tells you, the whole thing will topple. Let her believe that. Don't you say a word, Nicole. We love you. And good night. She's waving. It's an audio podcast.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.